stuff like that before bed, okay? So let's go, come on.
It's not real, Mom. It's okay if it's not real.
Do you believe in evil? Something otherworldly?
Yes. You don't stop evil. You can only protect yourself from it.
I'm worried about Dylan.
Why?
He's just different.
I have something to show you.
There are references to Bagul across all cultures. Some believe that it fed off of the corruption of innocence.
Children, have you ever met the bogeyman before? No, of course you haven't, for you're much too good, I'm sure. Hush, hush.
Run, run, run. The boogeyman's coming. Run, run, run. Where the fuck did they find that song?
Jersey Boys.
Was it? Oh, God.
I was joking. I just saw something from Jersey Boy.
I thought it was. I thought you were serious. I was like, what?
It's like one of those songs you hear on like Fallout 3 or some shit.
People are like, was that song in the movie? Hell no, it wasn't in the movie. Come on now. But it's like, why did you put that in your trailer and then make up a, like, that shit's creepy, and then the running over the man, so it's like, what? Oh, people, oh, another horror film this year. You know, I was prepared for this to be an undying piece of shit, because they didn't get a screener for this, just like a lot of critics this lovely weekend here in SoCal. LA County area, you know, a lot of critics didn't get screens for this, so, you know, we had to go out of our ways, pay for this, obviously, clearly. It's another Blumhouse production, and Blumhouse said, fuck the critics, pretty much. So, you know, I was expecting the worst from this, Cody, you know. I'm talking about...
We all were.
Oh, yeah, the absolute worst, especially when you see that 6%, which right there, right?
Yeah, especially when you see that cheap-ass trailer, yeah.
Yeah. Of course, oh, and I forgot to mention... another, when we were talking about horror movies earlier, I forgot It Follows. Yeah, throw that shit in there too on that. So let's go back now, Cody. All right, so It Follows, 98%.
Yeah.
To right now, I'm looking at Sinister 2 with a 13%. I think only yesterday it had like 6 maybe 4, some shit like that. So it went up. Not by much, but it went up. So it went up by 13%, like I said. So not by much, but we got from 98% of It Follows, which Cody thought was a masterpiece.
Oh, I loved it. Yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely going on my worst of list, but I don't know about you. But that was a boring piece of shit. And then we worked our way to Insidious 3. You know, fans of that fucking franchise still trying, well, you know, of course it's not going to be as good as the first one, but you know, it's got some entertainment. It's like, okay, nigga, shut the dog. Damn, is Insidious created fanboys now? How the fuck is that possible? This is a new fucking movie.
Seriously.
How the fuck does Insidious, a horror film, whatever, not even pop culture or anything like that, whatever, created a fucking fanboy? That don't even make any damn sense. Shit, horror movies are supposed to come and go. They ain't supposed to create fucking fanboys. Then we had, oh my God, Unfriended, Jesus Christ, the movie that just never fucking would have ended. I mean, I don't know what dumbass in Hollywood thinks looking at a computer screen for 2 hours is entertaining. I mean, ain't a goddamn thing of that entertaining. Cody knows the story. I walked out of that movie like twice, got some food. Took a piss, which Cody knows. I don't normally go take pisses. I usually hold that shit in or whatever. Just took a piss, made a phone call, came back in. All I saw was tears on the screen, like blown up on a Skype video. And I'm just like, I bet I ain't missed a damn thing. I'm able to keep up with everything that's going on. and then we had Poltergeist, which I thought was, I can't remember the movie, I'm not gonna lie, but I thought it was a little bit entertaining. Just from that bitch getting dragged up them stairs. That shit was hilarious. I'm sorry. Still, hands down, funniest thing I've ever seen in comedy history.
That shit was hilarious.
Yeah.
I've seen the movie yet, but yeah.
Oh, that's just like, daddy! Hands just, she's like that inflatable thing that you put in front of used car salesman and shit, where just hands are just flocking in the air and shit. And now, and then The Gallows.
Our favorite.
I don't even know what can be said about that shit now. And then we get to this shit. Now, Insidious 3, I thought was a piece of shit. I mean, that franchise has been going terrible. Sinister, I thought was... I was starting to learn that a lot of people did not like Sinister, even though it had like a 70% on Rotten Tomato. I thought it was a fine-made movie. It wasn't scary. Now, here, I was reading a lot of reviews saying that, well, this movie isn't scary. And I was just like, I've been saying that since the fucking first one. I don't even think that can be a criticism in horror today, because like I said on a previous show that a lot of our spoiling bastards agree with us. You a grown-ass man. What the fuck gonna scare you in this movie? What in the fuck can scare anyone in the theater nowadays? And besides, you know, Idris Elba showing up at your doorstep. Hey, yo, man, you gotta come in your house right now.
That is frightening.
That's frightening. But it's funny how, like, thrillers and shit like that is what's more scary, because, you know, it's based around people. Real life shit. You know, kidnapping, sex trafficking, Jared from Subway, things like that. You know, it's just scary. Which, by the way, Bagul damn near is Jared from Subway. Him and I think they need to team up or something like that, because Bagul has some fascination with kids that I just never grabbed the understanding of. And at first I was just like, yeah, maybe if you take a little bit of the hair down, that could be Jared, you know, a little bit, got a little taller. I was like, you know, okay. But let me go ahead and give a story here. So this sequel, 2012, some people will call it a sleeper hit, Sinister, we pick up with Deputy So-and-So. As people don't know, Scott Derrickson is not back for this sequel, which this movie could have used a lot. It's Sirian Foy, if I'm not mistaken. Because we all know Scott Derrickson is working on Doctor Strange, and he ain't got time for bullshit. he brings his writers back. Same writer, one of them, C. Robert Cargill. Which I think that was probably some parts in here which I didn't kept it from being as terrible as everybody said with some of the writing choices in here, because there's a lot of sprinkled elements in here. But so we pick up with Deputy So and So, and if you read Cargill's book or whatever, he talks a lot about Deputy So and So, kind of like an anthology even way. And Deputy So and So was from the first one. He's pretty much trying to prevent Bagul from, I guess, making kids murder other people, because he's kind of finding the connection as he's learning more about the pieces. I heard a lot of critics giving this guy shit that played Debbie. So James Ransom, they were saying he had a confused look throughout his face throughout the whole time. I will criticize someone about that, but he's learning about Bagul in this whole movie, you know, going on a kind of a mystery hunt himself and learning more as he picks up. So I would assume that he's kind of has to have a confused look on his face. Would you agree, Cody?
Yeah,
so if I learned about, and then, because we learned from the first movie, that the people knew that it was, Bagul was taking the souls of kids to kill the family and stuff. Like, he finds out in the film, and I heard someone criticizing that, he was just like, when he found out the kids were doing, he just had the dumbest look on his face, like, he was just so confused. And I was like, I think that's warrant, though, a little bit, you know? I was like, whenever you solve any kind of mystery, right, you're supposed to have, like, a light bulb appear in your head, like, oh, why didn't I see that? You know, it's, I don't know. I don't agree with that criticism so much. I think he should look kind of dumbfounded throughout the film in certain aspects of it. Because, you know, he's going along with this mystery figuring out. So I don't agree with that criticism of him. He's pretty much finding a connection to the houses that were going to be the next houses. So what he's decided to do is say, fuck it, I'm going to burn all these houses. Wow, a smart character for once with a haunted house. Burn that motherfucker.
That's so fucking hard.
I love it, because when he calls this next house where Shannon Sozeman, who plays Courtney in here, and her two kids, they're on the run from which we later find out is her husband, because he's been beating the kid, beats on her, and I guess they went through a divorce, and apparently he has a lot of power, and he's been trying to take the kids from her, so he's just been tracking her down, hiring PI investigators. So I guess a friend loaned her this house unknowingly or whatever. So when Deputy So-and-So calls this the realtor, he's like, oh yeah, no one lives there. And he's like, good. He goes to this house, he sees no one there, he opens up the back door, and he's just thinking like, oh shit, what stupid shit you gonna do? And he pulls out two big ass canisters of lighter fluid, and he's just like, my nigga. Burn that motherfucker. And then this little kid comes out, because he steps on a toy and it makes a loud noise, and even Deputy So-and-So goes, what the hell? And then he sees a kid just standing there, and he's like, oh shit. Hey kid, hey, what's going on? I ain't got no fluids in my hand. And then this kid just goes, mom. He was like, oh, shit, gotta hide the evidence. Hide it. He's like, hey, what's going on, y'all? Y'all live here? What's going on? My realtor said, y'all didn't, nobody lived here. My black ass would have been like, look, bitch, you need to get out the way because I'm about to burn this motherfucker. Now, you fine and all, so you can shack up with me, but them two kids, maybe we can put them up for adoption or something like that. They gotta go. Shit. I don't know. Maybe call CJ, do what he does with his kids or something like that. But other than that, I don't want no part of that shit right there. Them two little white blue devils you got right there. That's that omen shit going on right here. Sorry, whenever I see a blonde head, blue eyed boy, a little boy to it, I go like, ha, he, ha, he. That kid freaks the, those kids like that freak the fuck out of me. I saw that at a restaurant the other day. I was just staring at him like, you know what? I said, I'll take my water and leave, ma'am. You send me whatever check you got or whatever. Sir, you didn't even order yet. Oh, even better then. Bye. So we later find out, that's when she tells us, I mean, pretty much, he's pretty much solving the mystery of the barnyard. There's a barn, not even a barn, it's a church, apparently where a mass suicide, they say it's a suicide, but he was going to burn this church and that house down, so that way, whoever moved into this house next, and if you know the mythology of Sinister, whoever moves into a house, and they start to see these symbols and, you know, the tapes and all that, whatever, When they move from that house, because like a normal family would do if they see some mysterious shit going on, they would move. If you move from this house, that's when the murders start to occur. Which I think is a clever concept in a way. It's like, you know, you're taking the one weapon I have when I see shit at one place, or is moving the fuck away, which a lot of people don't do in movies anyway. So that's one of the one things I liked about Sinister. It had a lot of stuff to keep it going where it's just like, all right, what stupid thing? Oh, you didn't do any cliches here. Okay. Okay, so basically what I like about the movie, because I actually do like some things here, Cody. Shockingly, right? What? Yeah, what? Say what? Say yes. What? That's a horror movie and I like some things, what? Get out of here, right? Get out of here. Well, there's one thing I did like. I liked that there was actually a story going on. Yeah, for once, right? A horror movie with a story.
That's rare.
That's fucking very rare, right?
That's a character either. That's actually fucking rare.
What was funny about that too is the fact that I was actually looking at a film and I saw a story here and I was just like, why did this become so low on Rotten Tomatoes? Cause I was like, I said, I'm starting to see that if there's not a story, then it must get high on Rotten Tomatoes. It Follows, Unfriended. But then when you go into something like Gallows or something like that, and this or whatever shit, oh well, they got a story, you know. So they got background. That's a no. 0%. But the story here pretty much was, I like the fact that it carried on with the deputy from the first film and brought it over here, and we start to learn a little bit more about Bagul, which is basically what a sequel's supposed to do, right? It's supposed to lead up some aspects from the first film, right, Cody?
True. You would think so, yes.
Now, my plus is also a negative now. Because the negative here is, Bagul is too much on the damn camera. That was one of the good things about the last film is that he wasn't on camera. Here, this dude is like a sideshow Marilyn Manson. This transvestite-looking whore pops up almost every screen that he can to get some cheap-ass effect out of it. And I'm talking like bottom of the barrel, chick you picked up in San Diego's type thing, you know, one of them things or whatever stuff, Cody, you know, and you picked up your share in San Diego, but you know, people, he was heavily intoxicated. He does not know what he was doing, but I got photos if you'd like to see it. Cody, you paid her well though. Okay. You and your sex addiction. But anyway, you and that addiction of yours and two stick figures. But anyway, so I did like that. But the story aspect of it. But the problem with that is Bagul is supposed to be this intimate force, and he's got these annoying ass kids. Well, they're not even so much annoying. They're just monotone as shit because they can't act for a damn thing in here. And, well, what kid can really these days, right, Cody? there's a couple. I can't remember none of their names, but.
Yeah, I can't think of any, but.
Ender. Maybe Ender.
Yeah, there you go.
Wait, that boy's like 20 though. He ain't no kid no more, right?
Well, he's like 18 years old, so no.
Yeah, yeah. I think he's 19, isn't he?
Yeah, there you go.
Okay, that's a grown man then. Never mind then. So now let's get into the stupid shit, Cody, of this fucking film. This shit is laughable. And I'm talking about, like, you know, where audience members will laugh. P1 is sitting there going, like, fuck all y'all. Fuck every last single one of you ignorant fuckers up in here and shit. Because you the crowd that's going to sit here and like this piece of shit, get this money back because this shit probably only cost $2 in the first fucking place. And then we're going to see another one of these goddamn films. Which, by the way, I could give a shit less if another horror movie was made today because half of them are wiped with the ass cheeks of Jason Blum from the first fucking place. Fuck that guy. That guy, I don't give a fuck. People's like, didn't you like The Gift or whatever? I don't give a fuck. One movie worth the 5 shitty ones he make or whatever? They can go to hell. Shit, they can go to fucking hell. Oh, but he made Whiplash too. People, he didn't make the fucking film. He just providing the $2 that it takes to make them. Okay? Anybody could be slapping the shit out of Miles Teller. After Fantastic Four, I think a lot of people would like to slap the shit out of him for a second. But anyway, Cody's like, oh, yeah, here we go. Yes. Feed into your darkness. Bagul looked like a goddamn transvestite stepchild. I don't know what the hell they was thinking when they decided to put this cheap-ass Marilyn Manson makeup on him and say that this dude was a creature. He was a creature from the fucking Blue Lagoon that came out of Orange County. Exactly. You put one of them precious white babies around Orange County and you pay them in black, all black, Gotham out real quick, you'd have been like, oh, dude, that's so in, man. Yeah, totally, man. I'm feeling the look right now. Are you going to ACL this year? Are you going? That's what fucking Bagul looked like. I almost called him Blagoon or some shit. I will say Deputy So-and-So and the bitch that's in this movie, which I don't remember her name because she's a terrible fucking actress. They had some funny chemistry in here, but there was a funny ass scene where he stood up to her ex, whatever, and because obviously he used to be a cop, so he knows the law and stuff like that, because the ex tried to scare her with some fucking punk-ass deputies or whatever to say, we're going to take the kids, even though they couldn't because they didn't have a warrant or anything like that, or whatever the fuck it's called nowadays when you have a little bastards that's running around, some shit like that. I don't know because I don't want the little fuckheads around me. But anyway, that's why I'm the phenomenal. Anyway. And that's why J-Lo still looks good today. I know you adopted them kids. They ain't yours. Anyway, though. So she tells him a line where they're outside hanging out or whatever. And then next know she just says, I wish you were their dad. And I was just like, damn. If there's ever been a line to ever say, please crawl up in my vagina now, that's the line right there. Cody, do you see the signs there? Do you see the sign? If a girl told you, I wish you was a daddy, what's that saying?
I said a lot.
First it's saying run. That bitch got child support papers ready for your ass. You ain't even father. Another thing, too. Right now there's some feminist woman. Oh wait, we got the feminist leader. Why would it be a feminist woman? We got the feminist leader. That is just not right. I take that back because the feminist leader, she don't worry about feminist problems. She worries about black problems.
Yeah.
Ignorant bitch. Anyway. So as you can see, the movie is a fucking hot mess. I mean, it's a mess. It does have a center focus, but then when it brings in this backstory of the main, I don't know if I keep getting her name, Courtney, that's the character she's playing, Courtney, here. It brings up her father, not her father, her husband, and the whole, you know, being abused and taking the kids or whatever. It's like, kind of like, what the fuck that got to do with Bagul and, you know, getting this kid to kill y'all and all that shit? I mean, is this supposed to be like a motivational reason why? Like oh, you shouldn't feel bad that the kid is killing them now because, you know, the parent is, the dad is abusive anyway? It's like, nah, I still don't feel shit. I mean, it's a horror movie. You ain't supposed to feel shit. When the last time you felt anything for a horror movie?
Never.
Cody's like, is that a trick question, nigga? that rhetorical? What is that? That's R each. The nigga, did you just say each? Hold on. I correct myself. Hold on. R each. What? Damn. I guess college didn't help for that one part. Hey, nigga, I bought them books. We talking about? Just don't mean I read them. Somebody's saying they let anybody be a critic now. This nigga can't even spell. He said R H. Damn. You know what, Cody? I'd like to be that silver lining that's saying that, hey, look at me, I made it. You too can. Remember before the internet was provided, people actually had to write reviews. Imagine if I had to write one. It should be terrible. It should be on Urban Dictionary right now, whatever as we speak. man, I didn't hate the movie as much as I thought I would, but I damn sure didn't like it. I wouldn't tell nobody to go see it. It's not entertaining at all. I didn't get no laughs out of it. Matter of fact, I wish they would have put that cheesy-ass music in here. I mean, as far as the only cool concept I thought that the movie had going, if it would have Scott Derrickson on it, was the simple fact that is if it had Scott Derrickson on it to tighten up whatever the writing process was in here, to say, you know, tighten this film up here and there, or whatever, because it was losing pieces of the elements from the first film that it had going off, giving into the story more, which is pretty much learning more about Bagul and still trying to keep him a mystery somehow. So, you know what? I'm just going to give it a fuck it. I got to be fair to myself and true to myself. And this wouldn't be a P1 horror review if it wasn't a fuck it, right?
No, it would not be at all.
Because this movie's fucking terrible, that's why. I mean, I ain't giving it because it's a horror movie. Well, it's the fact that I don't even know why I do these anymore. I really don't. It's like, it's going to get to a point now where I'm just going to walk off on a review. Because it's going to be like, well, what do you want me to say? Yeah, that's true. That's right. I do it for numbers. That's right. We keep that secret, though, Cody. Let's edit that out, Cody. We don't tell people that. Yeah, we don't tell people that kind of stuff right now. But they don't need to know our numbers. It's a billion. That's what it does. Shit, we'll be by the time I get done with it. But anyway. Nah, it's just that, it's getting to a point now, what else could you say about a horror film? It's going through the same cliches, the same tropes. I mean, the one thing I appreciated about the first Sinner is it didn't have those cliches and tropes. It didn't have the creature popping up out of nowhere and stuff like that, you know, making those cheap-ass jump scares. And here, it followed all that formula. I mean, it followed it to a T. But, you know, this is a point where I don't blame, once again, because, you know, it's funny, the further in this career of doing this, Cody, I see myself siding more with Hollywood and filmmakers than I do fans. And, you know, it's funny because I started this site as a site for the fans, the actual real movie fans, right, Cody?
True.
But yet it fucking baffles me that you people keep putting your fucking money into this shit. And Cody, they keep saying, oh, why does Hollywood keep making them? Cody, would you change your formula up? Thank you. It's the same thing I said about Michael Bay and Transformers. Why would he change them up from stupid to actually making a good movie or whatever? Why? They keep making $1 billion.
I know, right?
So, I mean, and the same thing is being said right now for horror as well. Why does people? I'm not gonna be the one critic that's gonna give these directors, these actors, anyone in here this kind of shit or whatever. Especially when the audience keeps putting their fucking money into this shit.
Every fucking time.
Yeah. So not only is this movie getting a fucking Cody, but I'm sending a special P1 and Cody. I put a special word from the voice of the voiceless.
Okay.
Fuck you, audience. I see why now a lot of critics say fuck the audience. I see why now.
Shit, I've been saying that since Transformers.
When you got that standing ovation.
Motherfuckers.
There are always three things in common. The
is a murdered family, a house, and some form of offering. What does she say? It's coordinates to where? A farm where an entire family was murdered.
Nobody ever comes out here. That was terrible what happened.
It's the kids. He gets the kids.
This one's mine.
Your family's in danger.
Why?
He's gonna hurt us.
I won't let that happen.